When I was 10 years old, I heard a man die and did nothing to help. It's not something I'm proud of, but I was just a scared kid at the time. I was often left home alone when I was a child. I won't say my parents didn't love me or anything so dramatic, but they had priorities. Oftentimes, I was not too high on that list. Still, I enjoyed the solitude. I had the run of the house and could pretty much get away with whatever I wanted while they were gone. Well, as long as I made sure to clean up after myself. It was early February when it happened. While my folks were out on a part Valentine's, part anniversary date, they had married around this time of year about 15 years ago. So, they would make a big deal about it annually. It was snowy outside, and I wanted to go play in it while they were gone. But I had the biggest fear about inadvertently locking myself out of the house and freezing to death before anyone arrived to save me. It was close to 10 when my mom called and told me they would not arrive home until morning. This would be neither my first nor last night alone in the house. So I assured her I would keep the doors locked and get to bed at a reasonable hour. Surely, what I consider reasonable and what she did were far different times. Were I being responsible, I would likely already be in bed. But I was happily in the middle of binging horror movies when she called. I won't say they never gave me nightmares, as my mother warned, but I still loved them. We had a great assortment of channels on our unlocked cable box, so it wasn't too hard to track down movies to suit my late-night tastes. It was growing closer to midnight, and I felt my body begin to crave my bed when the commotion began outside. I peeked through the living room window to see a man screaming and running across the street. He was yelling out for anyone to help him, and he ran to some of the neighbors' houses and began pounding on their doors.
Oh God, for the sake of God, someone please help!
He cried out into the night while he slammed his fists against the doors and walls. Most houses just turned their lights off when all of this began, but I couldn't look away. What could have gotten this guy so worked up? It was a typical suburban street I lived on. Little to nothing ever happened, aside from the occasional car being pulled over for one reason or another. Finally, the man arrived at my door. He beat his hands against the wood and shouted, begging me to help. I was a kid. What the hell was I supposed to do?
Please, help me. They're coming.
He yelled out from the other side of the front door. I pulled the chair up to the door. I stood up on it to look out of the peephole. The man looked young. He was maybe in his early 20s, though to my perception at the time, he may have been well into his 60s. He had a dark beard with stubble and wore a blue thick hoodie, a knit cap and gloves. It was really cold outside, so I knew he had to be freezing.
Please, just let me in,
he whimpered softly.
Just help me. I'm begging you.
I felt bad for the guy, but I couldn't invite a stranger into the house, even if I believed he was truly scared.
I can't help you, mister,
I called out to him. I hoped he would just move on to the next house after he heard that it was just a child. But it just made him beg even harder.
Please, kid. I won't hurt you. I just need to get off the street, he whined. My dad says I can't have people over, I said, hoping to rationalize with the man. Just let me in. Please, he asked softly. I'm sorry, mister. I just can't. My dad would kill me. I began to reason. Suddenly, the man turned around, and I felt him push his back into the door. His head was right in front of the people now. I couldn't see what was happening. Oh, God, he said. I jumped down from the chair and ran to the living room window again. By the time I made it to the glass, he started screaming out and pounding on the door again. I heard the doorknob jiggle as he attempted to force his way in, but I had the deadbolt locked. Jesus Christ, just let me in, for the sake of God, please. He was wailing, and his voice had given way to a high-pitched shriek. As I glared out the window, I saw three dark shapes speeding across the road in front of my eyes. They were almost blurry, as if I looked through an unfocused camera lens. I couldn't even make out what they were, but they darted off down the road towards my house. I whipped my curtains closed and sat down on the floor under the window. Suddenly, the man's screams turned to blood-curdling wails.
No! No! No!
I heard more pounding against the door as well as the walls of the house, along with the sound that reminds me of when my dad would cut the turkey at Thanksgiving. The yells turned to gargles, and I heard something wet spray into the ground and onto the siding of my home. I heard snapping and crunching sounds along with something like fabric being torn. After the man's gargling and screaming stopped, there was a chorus of shrill squeals that didn't resemble anything I'd ever heard before. It reminded me of when I would pitch the mouth of a balloon while letting the air out, only much louder and more guttural. After a moment, everything fell silent again, but I would not get off the floor until sometime later. When I did finally emerge from my safe spot under the window, I ran up the stairs to my bedroom, locked the door, hid under my blanket until I fell asleep. I was awakened the next morning by the sound of police sirens out front, accompanied by a loud knock at the front door. I peeked out of my bedroom window to see several police cars and a black SUV parked on the road in front of my house. I was too scared to answer my door since my folks had not yet arrived back home. I just stayed up in my room and ignored the hammering on the front door. After a while, the knocking stopped, but the police stayed out there until my parents drove up an hour later or so. My mom came flying in through the front door and up the stairs. She tried to get in, but my door was locked. She just pounded and shouted for me to let her in. Her words, along with the knocking, sent shivers up my spine after the previous night's events. I swung the door open, and she pulled me into a hug. After a few minutes of holding me in place, she started to grab my arms and check for injuries. While she was certain I was okay, she asked me if I had heard anything last night. I'm not entirely sure why I lied to her. Maybe I felt guilty about what I assumed had happened to the yelling stranger.
It could have just been as simple as I didn't want my folks to know I'd stayed up so late. Who knows? I said I didn't hear anything. Sometime later, my father came inside after the swarm of vehicles on our street thinned out. One of the cop cars in the black SUV stayed out front for a while, and two officers went to each house in the neighborhood. It had been a bizarre series of events, but I paid it no mind after a couple of weeks passed. Sure, kids at school spun many different rumors about the murder that seemingly occurred on my street, though a body was never found. There was a great deal of blood that sprayed across the front of my parents' house and on the driveway. Some would theorize it was way more than the human body was capable of holding, but there had been a lot of exaggerated stories over that first week. For several months after the man begged to be allowed entry into my home, my parents refused to leave me at the house on my own. It was actually quite nice, if I'm being perfectly honest. Although I missed having the run of the place a bit, my folks were way more attentive than they had ever been. Again, I would never accuse them of being overly neglectful. They just never saw the danger in leaving me in the house with me as its only occupant until then. Of course, their new outlook on life didn't last too long. It was mid-December before I would be left alone again. My parents had a Christmas party to attend to with some friends, so they asked if I'd be okay on my own. Given the fact that I had no desire to be left with some babysitter who was only a few years older than me, I said yeah, I would be perfectly fine. Truthfully, though I enjoyed them being more attentive these days, I did miss my solitude. As was usually the case, my mom checked in around tennis, to which I informed her all was well. She told me they would likely be home around 1, and recommended that I try to get to bed soon. Of course, I didn't plan on hitting the sack until I saw the lights of my parents' Honda rolling into the driveway, but she didn't need to know that. After successfully riding my makeshift Captain America shield down the stairs a couple of times in a row, I decided to just hunt for a good rated R movie to bide my time until I had to head back upstairs to bed. It was right around midnight when the knocking on the front door pulled my attention away from Jason, steadily strolling after a fleeing topless girl. "Let me in," the voice called from outside. Instantly, I tensed up as my mind revisited the stranger who was left as nothing more than a bloody pool across the front lawn. My dad ended up having to repaint the front of the house as the stains would not wash off. Even the concrete driveway still wore the few marks that would just not clean up. "Come on, kid. Let me in," echoed from behind the door. I turned the volume up on the movie to attempt to block out the sounds. "Help me. Save me. Let me in," the voice called out, growing louder with every word. It wasn't like he was shouting. More like his vocal tone elevated in the same way I had turned up the sound on the TV. Hesitantly, I crept over to the window to peer outside. I saw no evidence of anyone or anything. The whole neighborhood appeared to be at rest, but I still heard the man from behind the door. "Just let me in. I won't hurt you. I promise," he called out again. I quietly carried the same chair over to gaze through the peephole. I froze in place after I accidentally bumped wood to wood while attempting to persist in my prop. I know you're in there, kid. Just let me in, please. I climbed up to glance through the small circular hole to see. Nobody there. Come on, kid. You can save me. You know that, right? The invisible stranger asked. Certain that I had eaten way too much candy or had just knocked myself senseless while sliding down the steps, I decided to turn off the TV and head to bed. Even after I turned on the box fan I used to provide ambient sound to help me sleep, I still heard the voice, which now sounded like it was coming directly from behind my second floor window. I sandwiched my head between two pillows, but it made little difference in the volume of the cries for help. Don't go to sleep and leave me out here, kid. All you have to do is just let me in. It began to beg. It wasn't until I saw the light trace across the far wall of my bedroom that signified my parents' arrival that the voice fell silent. For years, it carried on like that, always around midnight, and only when I was alone. It got to the point where I practically begged my folks not to leave when they would inevitably head out for the night, and even requested a babysitter when they would. They agreed to my request for someone to watch over me while they were gone, but that ended after I turned 12. Sometimes, I was able to arrange a sleepover with my friends, but there were times where I couldn't weasel my way out of being alone as the hours approached. Regardless of how often the voice would return, I was never able to just ignore it or push it to the recesses of my mind while I focused on other things. When my folks would be gone all night, the voice wouldn't stop until I finally drifted to sleep, which always required quite the struggle to achieve. As the years progressed and my school days ended, I went off to college where I would have a roommate for a time. Though I would involve myself in any activity that would keep me from being alone in my dorm room after hours, there were still those times I would once again be at the mercy of the voice behind my door. No matter where I went in life, the stranger would follow. Although there would never be evidence of his presence aside for the begging and pleading and the knocking that came from beyond my door. After college, I still maintained a roommate to avoid as many late-night visits as I could, though it would not keep them away entirely. I couldn't exactly forbid my housemate from having a life after all. For some years, I would only have to worry about the cries for help around the weekends. Unfortunately, when my roommate decided to move in with his girlfriend, I was shit out of luck. Sure, I attempted to get another roommate, but my erratic and desperate behavior freaked out most interested parties. So every single night after my housemate moved out, the knocking and screaming came. No matter how hard I tried to ignore it, the volume would crank up higher and higher. I even tried checking into a busy hotel for a night, hoping that the crowded hallways would keep it away, but nope. As long as I was alone in my room, the pounding would begin again around midnight, without fail. For months, I fought against my slipping sanity, but I could never block it out. Earplugs? Nope. Headphones with blaring music? No. Nothing would keep the man's begs for help from reaching my ears. Finally, after way too many sleepless nights to count. I couldn't tolerate it anymore. As many times before, I'd gaze through my peephole to reveal nobody there, though the calls and knocks still bellowed through. With a heavy sigh and a racing heart that felt as though it would crack right through my sternum, I wrapped my trembling fingers around the doorknob and pulled it open. My jaw practically fell to my chest when my eyes met the shredded figure right in front of me. Half of his face had been torn away, leaving a red skull with strips of meaty tissue where skin once lay. His left arm had been ripped clean from his shoulders, and it was hard to differentiate the bloodied muscle and bone from the clumped threads of the shirt and hoodie that remained. His guts were splayed open, leaving oozing entrails hanging to the floor in a scarlet pool, and both of his legs were a gruesome combination of moist ground beef and bone, with little holding them in place. Somehow, his right arm was the only part of him free of any manner of injury, which he still held out in front of him with his balled fist in preparation to knock once more. "Thanks, man," he said, trying to smile with the one side of his face that still had the ability to do so. "You're a lifesaver," he continued, before he collapsed to the ground. In a series of snapping and squelching sounds, his body twisted and contorted as it smoked, bubbled, and popped, shrinking down and dissolving into the fuzzy welcome mat and concrete pavement. Within seconds, all that remained of the stranger who was only visible through the open door was no more than a charred crimson stain on the ground. I kicked at the dampened mat that still wore the mark of many dirty feet to find nothing underneath it. Though my mind was reeling and my mouth was still hung agape, I strolled across the pathway that led from my house, nudging the mat towards the garbage can that stood at the end of the driveway. I picked up the carpeted sheet that now read, "We Me," on either end of the grisly stains by one of the untouched corners and dropped it into the trash bucket. I stood outside, staring back at my house with my head in a daze. Could that really be all I had to do to be rid of this madness? Would my nightly visits finally be over? I began to cackle like a crazy person while I paced back to my open door, feeling like my remaining marbles may indeed be rolling out of the confines of my noggin for good. Before I could reach the entry to my home, I heard what sounded like a pack of wild animals thundering their feet across the ground behind me. I whipped around to see three hideous, deformed, dog-like creatures scampering across the road towards me. Thick, phlegmy slobber dripped from their gaping maws as they sprinted at me on those muscular legs covered in matted, dreadlocked fur. I screamed at the top of my lungs and hauled my ass back through my doorway and slammed it shut behind me. I quickly flipped the deadbolt latch and pressed my back to the door whilst the beast rammed into it from the other side. Wailing barks and growls blended with something that resembled what a wood chipper might sound like if you threw 50 pounds of frozen food into it, squelled from outside. They didn't attack the actual door again after the initial slam from the quickly ceased high-speed pursuit. I had no doubt that they would attempt to force their way in. My simple locks would not keep them at bay for long. I glanced through the peephole again to see the trio just pacing back and forth, still dripping that noxious drool with every whimper of their awful sounds. Each of them were quite large, easily twice the size of the largest dogs I ever seen. Their bodies and limbs bulged with ripping muscles. Their mouths were filled with jagged and misshapen yellow teeth. Every one of the six enlarged eyes glowed a vibrant orange beneath their furrowed brow, accepting that another sleepless night was ahead of me. I drew my largest kitchen knife from the rack beside my stove and sat on my couch trembling from head to toe. Of course, I had no doubt a poultry blade used for preparing a meal would provide little defense against those hideous beasts. I just gripped onto the hilt. At some point, I must have fallen asleep, and by the time the sun rose, the beast had moved on, as far as I could tell anyway. I slowly pulled my door open to reveal nothing but the stained concrete behind it. I felt on edge for the rest of the day, but nothing else appeared out of place while I went on with my daily grind. It wasn't until I was on my way home after dining with some friends after work that I understood the new troubling situation I would be forced to endure. The sun began to set on my drive back to my house, something that never made me nervous before. Not until midnight, anyway. By the time I arrived on my street, the world was now lit by the subtle glow of the moon. It was then that I heard the barking and the growling again. I darted my eyes to my rearview mirror to see the three matted creatures speeding at me from behind. I slammed my foot to the floor, causing my Nissan to speed faster across the road to my house, faster than I would ever have darted before. I was terrified at the idea of kids playing on the street or absent-minded drivers drifting into my lane, but I had to outrun these things and reach the safety of my home. I skidded onto my driveway and felt my tires lift from the ground as the left one spun to a halt, tearing into the grass and dirt of my lawn. My heart was hammering against my chest while I sprinted to my front door. I could practically feel the foul breath of the demonic hellhounds in the back of my neck as I fumbled for my keys against the doorknob in my attempts to gain entry. I dare not look behind me until I finally achieved success and tripped onto the floor, kicking the front door shut with my heels. I rolled over and reached to latch my lock when I heard and felt the hard slam of the monstrous creatures beginning one after another. This is how I live now. I never stay out past dark, no matter what. I feel a panic attack building up whenever I see the sun begin to recede for the night, whether I'm safely behind walls or not. I don't date. I don't socialize. Those things only lead to the inability to put a door between me and my stalkers when night falls. I can't say mine is a happy existence, but I'm alive. I wonder sometimes, if I had allowed that stranger entry the first time he begged for it, would I be where I am now? Or would he have transferred this curse to me sooner? Somehow, I doubt I'll ever have answers, but there has to be a way out, right? If you take nothing else from this tale, just remember this. Should I ever come knocking at your door after dark, no matter what, no matter how hard I beg, no matter how much I cry, do not even acknowledge me. And for God's sake, don't let me in.
Ha 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 ha